open your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Read a couple of verses from 12, and then we're going to go to chapter 14 and read a couple in 14. Have a word of prayer. Say a few things to show you where we're going, hopefully. Hopefully I know where we're going so that you'll know where we're going. All right, Exodus chapter 12, beginning here in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. All right, chapter 14. And verse 14 and 15. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. It does sound like it's a little disconnected, but it's not. And we're thankful that we have a book that is the book. And it is totally connected. And the Lord Jesus Christ is from the beginning to the end. Everything in between. And your word fits together perfectly, inerrantly, infallibly. And we're grateful that we don't have a book that just contains your word, but that it is your word. So I pray that it might have the authority over our lives here today. I am not here to proclaim judgment on your word. I am here to have your word judge me and everybody here. We pray that, again, as I prayed earlier, if there's anybody here that has no assurance of their salvation, may they come to Christ, receive him as their personal Savior, and be assured of not only that salvation, but eternal life as well. May you guide and protect your word from me, to say that I might say something contrary to it, or irreverently, that you and your name would be exalted above measure. We ask that the Holy Spirit move among us and speak to the innermost parts of our hearts, that we might be able to see ourselves as you see us and do the things that we know that you want us to do or refrain from. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in chapter 12, it is just prior to the last judgment on Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt, where the death of the firstborn was prophesied upon all the houses in Egypt that did not have the two doorposts and the upper post of the doors sprinkled with blood, and that blood had to come from an innocent substitute. And by the way, there was another thing on my mind, and it left and then it came back. And I'm so grateful when thoughts come back that I had just lost. When my son and I were in Hong Kong back in 2010, I think. Yeah, 2010. There was an ancestry worship facility of the Buddhists maybe 50 yards away. And so, being Mr. Curious, I went down there, and it's like a drive-in church, you know, that kind of thing. So if you walk in, and there they light their candles, and they offer oranges and tangerines and all, and because of their ancestors. And there's a miniature statue of a false god there with a big belly. And I didn't mean to tell you any of that. What struck me was, as you stand outside, there is a red mark here on the door, on the doorpost, and there's a red mark here on the doorpost, and there's a red mark here on the doorpost. And so everywhere we went in China and then in Hong Kong, I looked to see if that was just an anomaly, and they were everywhere. That is, to me, that is remarkable. You know, that way back, they had the truth. And then they perverted the truth, and then they tried to take it from us. It's just amazing. You think that, oh no, they never had the truth at all. They did. What could that stand for other than the blood of Christ? You know, which signified the Passover. Anyway, so this is why Pharaoh's firstborn and everybody in Egypt's firstborn died, because they thought this was trivial. They thought this was insane. And in chapter 12, it speaks of the beginning of months. And to us, which of course is January today, but to Moses and the Israelites, the first month corresponded with our April. And so when you, I think I was telling Brent a little while ago, when you read something occurred in the seventh month, then you know that you would count from April. And so that's just an interesting side note. So we have entered in the finiteness of time, a new beginning of a new year, of the first month and first day of that new year. And God is very gracious to us, each of us, no matter our stature, our education, our age, or our spiritual state. You can be here lost, you can be here saved, but you have not made it to today on your own accord, but by God's mercy and God's grace. It's the only way that you have made it to today. It's the only way marriages last. It's the only way churches can function and stay true to the word. It's not of our own accord. It's by God's grace and God's mercy, and of course our obedience to that word. And that's the sum total. But you think of, if you're lost here this morning, think of that. You are being given another opportunity this morning to be saved. And you say, well, maybe this year sometime. Well, perhaps. But you're not guaranteed anything beyond right now. That's it. And you're not even guaranteed another breath. No guarantees on tomorrow. And if we are saved, we who are, we are given another opportunity to grow spiritually, to strengthen ourselves in Christ, to win souls, or if we're out of fellowship, to get back into fellowship again for another year. And you might say, well, maybe sometime this year. And again, I say, perhaps, but you don't have any guarantees beyond today. So what is it about the way we think that says, I can take care of this later? I can manage this for where I am today, and sometime down the road, I'll take care of it. Or I'll take care of it this afternoon. I'm just telling you, you're playing with fire and danger. All right, in chapter 14, in verses 14 and 15, the Israelites have left Egypt. The death angel fell upon Pharaoh and all the households of Egypt and killed their firstborn. And Pharaoh is quite upset, obviously. And they have traveled, the Israelites have traveled as far as the Red Sea, a major block, an obstacle, a problem. And to add to that, Pharaoh and his army are pursuing them. Go up to verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. What is that? By the way, what does that tell you about what they did in death with their people? Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So in verse 14, they are in the sure face of the enemy. They have no means to fight. None whatsoever. And then in verse 15, the Lord tells Moses to speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And of course, you know the rest of the story. All right, go forward. Let me say a number of things here about going forward. They had to go forward in faith. What was the alternative? The alternative was death. It's like in salvation. What is the alternative to trusting Christ as Savior? Eternal separation from God for all eternity. There are no options here. There are no alternatives. There is one way through one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by faith. Anything else results in death. They were to go forward against evil. Well, what do you mean? Well, Egypt is a type of sin. Pharaoh was a type of Satan. And obedience to God and his word is always against evil. I mean, we're talking about obedience to God from what? From evil, from sin, from wickedness, from Satan, from the world, from ourselves. Don't just, you know, gravitate to that part, because there's another part there. Anytime you move to something, you've moved from something. Separation is that way. We're separated from the world. To whom? Oh, to no one. Well, then you're only half separated. If you're not separated to God from the world, then you're not separated. I mean, it's that easy. They were, number three, to go forward personally. Now, there are upwards, rough estimates, of 2 million people that were moving, that had to move personally through the Red Sea on dry ground. No one could go for anyone else. Will you go over for me? Well, they could go over, but you're still going to be there. You have to go personally, in faith. And number, what did I say? 1, 2, 3, 4. Go forward to a land that was promised to them, a land which they knew nothing about. Before I was saved, before you were saved, you may have been raised in Christian homes and so forth, and that's always good, but you really didn't know anything about life as a Christian and the road that you would travel as a Christian. You knew nothing. And God had to show you. You started it as a baby in Christ, and God showed you step by step what he wanted for you. If you're still a baby and you're 30 years saved, there's a problem. And either you're not looking or you're not saved. But anyway, go forward. All right, let's look to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I said all that to get to this, and then eventually I'll get back to a part of what I read. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to look at a new beginning exhortation. It's my terminology. A new beginning exhortation. Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin here in verse 10, or verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, there are three words in verse 16. redeeming the time. Right. I had a teacher in Bible school who said, time is an island in the sea of God's eternity. Never forgot it. It's just a picture of any kind of island you want to build. That's time. All right. So whatever time is, however long it lasts, we are to redeem it. We are to buy it back. We are to use it wisely. All right. Redeeming the time. So let me bring this up first. How is time lost? Well, number one, by idleness. Idleness. We live in a culture where there's very little to do anymore. And it appears that in most cases, everything is being done for us. You go to the store, you buy some stuff, and you check out, and it rings up the amount, and you used to have to give people money. And they had to count the money, and they had to figure out the change. No more. You can still give them money, but they punch it into a register, and it does that for them. Let me tell you, when you don't do things for yourself, you lose it. And I'm not trying to be cruel here, but you lose it. How many of you remembered all the phone numbers in your address book once upon a time? And now if somebody said, I say, well, what's their phone number? I don't know. I just know their name. These are important things that you should be putting in your head all the time. Schools no longer, you can have computers in schools. But when you're adding on a computer, you're not using your brain. You're not using the facilities that God gave you. Now, you can argue with me. You can say I'm picking. There's a screen up here. But as long as I'm here, it will never be used for hymns or Bible verses. I know this, that it is important that you see and turn yourself to what is going on. Because if you don't, you may catch some of it, but you don't catch what you need to catch. For years, I have a concordance. I use the old method on the concordance. I pick it up. I go through it. Sometimes I'll use a computer if I'm really in a hurry. But most of the time, I still go to the concordance. I look these things up. And you know what? I remember them. And that's what God wants us to do. We can lose time if we don't spend it in constructive things. And idleness is one of them. Secondly, by excessive amusements. We live in an amusement state. Florida. I mean, there is something somewhere that someone has never been. And for some reason, we think we can't be that only person that's never been there or done that. And the amusements are set up, they're geared to lure you to themselves so that you can have great fun without God, apart from God. And you need to be careful because you lose time that way. You're not redeeming the time like that by excessive amusements. Number three, I get more personal as we go. By unprofitable talk and unprofitable books. Vain janglings. Genealogies. You see advertisements. I thought I was Spanish, but I found out I was Aborigine. What's the trap there? The trap is who is the main proponent of genealogies today? The Mormon Church. And once you find out all these people, they'll get baptized for the dead for you. They're going to save. See, they're saving more people than Christ can save. So, you know, you don't want to get involved in it. Matters that are hidden by God. I want to know what this is. Why can't you tell me? I can't tell you because God hid it. There are some things that He has not revealed and He will not reveal to us. I mean, most of the things I think we can search out. But then, books. Many poor souls of the past and many persecuted souls of the present have existed knowing only one book, God's Word. One book, that's it. But we are so privileged to be able to talk about so much vanity and read the same. I meant to bring this in. Linda read to me an obituary for this weekend, and it was incredibly vain. It went in circles and circles and circles, and it resembled the flushing of a toilet. It just kept getting down, 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 and it was sickening. And what was being spoken of? Nothing that amounted to anything. I'm not picking on somebody, but I mean, that's what it was. So we read about nothing. We talk about nothing as though it's important. And guess what? We're not redeeming the time. And if we don't redeem the time is lost. Number four, by our attachments to worldly pursuits. Now, my old nature, I often exclaim, is like a chain around my waist and a lead ball behind me. And everywhere I go, I drag the old nature. But for the sake of argument, I'm going to make it a lead ball that's tied to my belt. Or if you ladies have purses or you carry backpacks, that's where it is. Worldly pursuits. What could we do? How could we survive without these attachments? Almost everywhere I go, even eating out, there is an exception now and then, there'll be people sitting at the table and they'll be on their worldly pursuits. And they'll be on it, and that one will be on it, and that one. And wasn't it great to go out together? And everybody is, you know, blah, 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 the whole thing. And if it's not that, then it's something else. I don't know really, everybody I saw in a place yesterday, 95% of the people were on phones. They can't exist without phones. You'll hear a phone go off but occasionally in the services. Remember, the phone has no spirituality. It's not here to listen. It's here to irritate. Turn them off or turn them down so that, you know, you can vibrate and all that business. You know, we have a doctor. He needs to make calls. He needs to receive calls. Most of us don't need that. All right, number five, we lose time, or time is lost by our fleshly wickedness. And we allow it to control us. It can be controlled, but we allow it to control us. Time is lost that way. And if it's lost, we don't redeem it. Number two, how is the time to be redeemed? By guarding it against it. By guarding against losing it. In hold your place. Proverbs chapter 4. Sorry. Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep is also the word guard. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard against what you put in. Not only your heart, guard your body what you put in. Guard everything what you allow in. You have to. Nobody else is going to do that for you. Time is can be redeemed by acting in obedience to God's word. That goes beyond believing God's word. That says believing, now act on it. Do something with it. One of the great distinctions that I see occurring today is people can give forth God's word, but there's no emphasis on what to do with it. And so we can take things, we can believe them. You can say the same things I said. I was not raised in a Bible-believing church, but I said that I believed the Bible was God's word, but I didn't know what that meant. I said I believed in the resurrection of Christ, but I didn't know what that meant. Or that Christ died for the sins of the world, but not that he died for me, because nobody ever told me that. And so I could talk as well with one of you who might be saved. If you would ask me, do you believe in the resurrection? Yes. Do you believe Christ died for the sins of the world? Yes. Do you believe the Bible's the word of God? Yes. Well, you must be saved. No, I wasn't. Because there was no application, and there couldn't be application because there was no spirit within me. This is the fallacy of trying to teach lost people truth. They can't gravitate to it. They have to, the truth is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And if it's not there, then they're just words. We went to a seminar one time. It was a week-long seminar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're only at night. It was a mixed multitude. It was not something that I was in charge of or that I sanctioned. It was something I had to go to. And so during the Monday night, no gospel. Now, we're talking about people that don't believe the Bible is the word of God. We're talking about people that don't believe salvation by grace through faith. We're talking about people that don't believe in the assurance of salvation and a multitude of other things. They're all there. Tuesday night, 4 hours, no gospel. Wednesday night, 4 hours, no gospel. Oh, but we're given handouts and we're given all these lists and how to do this and how to do that. And we're trying to build Christian character. If you're lost, you can't build Christian character. So the fourth night, toward the end of the 4 hours, there was a brief watered down gospel. And then Friday, 8 hours. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, most of Thursday was erased by people trying to pick up information being lost. You can't do it. When we preach here in the message, most of the time it's to save people because I know lost people can't gravitate to that. And they can pick up the gospel, they can be saved, and what a difference it makes after you're saved, and you hear the same words, but now you hear them as a saved person, and now all of a sudden, through the Holy Spirit, you know what it means. But before you didn't. Number three, by special attention, about redeeming the time, special attention to the things that are precious and profitable parts of our time. Okay, so let me ask a question. What time do we give to church? What time do we give to church attendance, church work? And I am sure you would be as surprised, maybe even astonished as I would be, if we counted up all of our time to see what little time we give to the affairs of the gospel and our local church every week. What time do we give to the meditation of God's word or prayer? When my knees were my old knees, were not fake knees, when I had real knees and they were good to some degree, I would go out and run, and I was more distance than sprinter. So Sunday, I picked the worst day to go on a long run. It was Monday after church services on Sunday when I was tired. Linda would leave for work and I would go out and I'd go on long runs. So it was the longest. It could take up to 2 hours. And I ran all through the neighborhoods of around town here. And I'm being as upfront with you as I can possibly be. I spent the time praying. And different verses came to my mind. And I just concentrated on them and praying. And they weren't vain repetitions. They were just praying for things. The shorter runs were like 6 miles. And it was the same thing. And let me tell you, it was so good. I only got bit by a dog once. never saw it coming. And, you know, you're in a zone. And so I ask myself, and since you're here, you as well, couldn't we improve on our church attendance and church work? Isn't there room for improvement there? Isn't there room for improvement on meditating on God's word in our lives? That we could spend some time, and it doesn't have to be a deep, 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 long thing, but just meditating on God's word. I mean, when we were reading here in Ephesians 5, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I was raised as a child, the same as you were raised as a child. And when I wanted to do something, it was always, why can't I? I always put it on my parents. Why can't I do that? Look, the kids were all sleigh riding down the street, but I couldn't go. Why can't I? What's wrong with me? Why can't I go? You know, but I wasn't in this environment. Scripture says, you prove what's acceptable with the Lord. That's what all of us should do. Can't we improve on our prayer life? Sometimes our prayer life consists of breakfast, lunch, dinner. Listen, prayer is essential to eating, but shouldn't be just for eating. Surely we could spend more time talking to our Father. He wants to hear from us. Do you want to hear from him? Here, you've got the Bible. If you'll read and meditate here, he's talking to you. Well, spend some time talking to him. It's important. All right, and the third thing that I want to take a look at here in verse 16 is, why is time to be redeemed? Why should we redeem it? It is a command, you know. All right? Well, number one, because time is short and uncertain. I want you to go back in the Old Testament, Psalm 39. There's two passages in the Old Testament. One of them is in 39. This is a Psalm of David, and in verse 4 and 5, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And then we have that word, selah. You know what that means? Think on it. Meditate on that. Lord, make me to know mine end, that I may know how frail I am. All right, Psalm 90 is the second one. Psalm 90. And we'll start here in verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are threescore years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When you're young, you don't think about 70. And when you're middle age, you don't think of 70. And when you get pretty close to 70, you start thinking a little bit about 70. And that's the average right there. And except by reason of strength, you make it to 80. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply them to wisdom. And what is wisdom? Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. James chapter 4. Let me put this one in here too, and then we'll... Redeeming the time. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Tell me one of us that has not said that in different terminology at one time or another. Well, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go here, and I'm probably going to go there. And James is saying, okay, you that say that, listen up. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. All right? We need to redeem the time because the days are short and they're uncertain. When I said in the beginning a part about, you know, you have one more opportunity today to be saved, and the Lord has been gracious and merciful to you, and we who are saved have one more opportunity to make things right with you or to strengthen ourselves in you and so forth. I was not speaking through something that I made up, because we don't know what's on tomorrow. The weathermen know what tomorrow is, but we don't. All right. Number two, because the work to be done in it is important and eternal. We're dealing with souls. And souls are either lost or they're saved. 24 years old before anybody spoke to me about my soul. Raised in a church background, and I almost blew it because I didn't want to hear it. Because I didn't understand it. 24 years in the United States of America, living in a suburbs, and people coming and going, having friends, and the friends that I had, none of them had ever heard either. None of us had paid any attention to it. It was like we were practicing atheists. I was as close to that as could be. I said that I was an agnostic. But we're dealing with things that are eternal. This is not just for today. This is not for your afternoon fare or your evening fare. This is life and death issues here. If you die and you die lost, it's over. There are no second chances. And if you die out of fellowship, you lose reward. What's the point? And so we're trying to make sure that we're inserting things that are genuinely important, because that is the time that needs to be redeemed. We're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not for our salvation, but for rewards or loss of rewards. Motivation. Why do you do what you do? Why are you here? Because you have to be here? I'm glad you're here. Don't mistake. I'm glad that you're here. But if you're here only because you have to be, or you're trying to impress somebody, then in the reward department, there are none. They'll all get burned up. There's no gold, silver, precious stone. There's just wood, hay, stubble. And then lastly, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We redeem the time because the days are evil. The world is evil. All right. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We live in a crooked and perverse nation. Land. Tell me a nation that's not crooked and perverse today. We could go to Canada. We could go to Mexico. We could go to South America. We could go to Asia. We could go to Europe. We could go to Antarctica. Tell me one place that is not a crooked and perverse nation. And we're supposed to be the lights there. And to do that, we have to redeem the time. The days are evil. In 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We live in that day. If you read the 19-point list that starts in verse 2 and goes through verse 4, you know we live in that day. In chapter 3, verse 13, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Titus chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. You don't have to look hard. You don't have to look long. Flip a switch. Boy, they're there. Read a magazine. They're there. Listen to a podcast. They're there. And they are sucking people in every day. Every day. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. False teachers. False teachers creeping in among us. Do you realize that in the time it has taken to give this one message this morning, there are thousands of churches that have gone on and done irreparable spiritual damage to tens of thousands of people. What do you mean? They call evil good. They water down or pervert the gospel. They change everything. And what is holy becomes unholy. And what is unholy becomes holy. And it's just like in the priesthood back in the days of Jeremiah, I think in chapter 5 or chapter 6, he talked about the priests prophesying falsely, the prophets and the priests doing horrible things. And the end of the verse says, and my people loved to have it so. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Right? In chapter 3 of Philippians, if you stayed there, look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. All right, so let's take that practically speaking as far as a year goes. Last year? Yeah, last year. Very close. We're only 12 hours into a new year. So you can look at the whole last year, forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Well, that's today and every day the Lord gives us here. I press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We began a new year of our pilgrimage as foreigners and strangers. Wisdom and God's word dictates what things to take with us. As in the book of Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, with the children of Israel, go forward. Go forward. And that same wisdom in God's word dictates what things are to be left behind. The Egyptians. Sin. Pharaoh. Satan. Don't go back. Don't go back and dig it up. And say, oh, no, I'm not as whole as I was when I had had my sin. I'm not as comfortable as I was when I had my sin. Don't go back there. Don't go back there. Don't take it with you. Because once you take it back, it's so much harder to get rid of it. Why not claim what God said through Moses to the Israelites, that you're not going to see Pharaoh or his armies or the people anymore. You don't have to go back. So, redeeming the time is set before all of us. It's a new year. It's a new start. We're not in the position where God has made all things new, like in Revelation 21, 22. We still have the old nature. There's still the world. There's still Satan. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. You can redeem the time. You should redeem the time. You better redeem the time because it's a command. I'm not talking about you can't do anything whatsoever. You know full well what I'm talking about. So where are we going to be found insofar as the command to redeem the time because the days are evil? Because we're going to be found somewhere. And it's either on this side or that side. It's not on the fence. It can't happen. How is it with your heart this morning? Do you know Christ as Savior? If not, listen. Don't judge me here. Take me at my word. We will sit down with you. Someone will sit down with you that wants to see you saved and show you the verses, the reasons, and the way so that you'll know exactly what to do to be saved. And help you do that. But you have to want that. We who are saved, if the Lord's spoken to our heart here this morning, the altars here are open. You can pray. There may be something else going on in your heart altogether differently. You come and you pray. You take it to him. You leave it with him. If you need to speak with one of us, we'll be glad to take whatever time's necessary. You may have been saved in the past, never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. We baptize by immersion. That's what Baptists do, I think, still. And has nothing to do with your salvation. Everything to do with identification. This is who I am now that I'm saved. And I want everybody to know it. You may be here. You may be visiting. The Lord has impressed upon your heart the intent to join in with this local church. And if so, you just come make that intent known. But whatever's going on, redeem the time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your concern for us. Thank you for allowing us into a new year. I don't think I deserve it. I don't believe any of us deserves it. You have us here for a reason. We'll address that tonight. You have us here to be used by you for your purposes. And we can't do that if we allow the time to be lost through all the different things that were mentioned here in this message. Help us to see where we are spiritually. Not judge somebody else, but where we are ourselves spiritually. Just like crossing the Red Sea, everybody had to go personally. Each one of us have to make personal decisions here. And once making those decisions, we know that you will give us the power and the strength to accomplish those very things. I don't pretend that it wouldn't be without challenges or trials, but I do know that it's the right thing. And I'm concerned for the right thing for each and every one of us that are represented here, that are watching, or that may get hold of the message. Father, speak to our hearts. May you have your way, for we ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.